All right. Welcome to New Dimension Comics Presents the Toddcast on this extremely awkwardly special, super cool edition where New Dimension Comics is celebrating 35 years, and we have our boss, the founder, the tallest man I know.
The Todd Father.
The Todd Father. Todd McDip.
I'll accept that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Welcome.
So in true Toddcast fashion, we're going to talk about a little bit about NDC events coming up real quick, and then we'll talk about comics, and then we're going to let Todd talk a lot about the history of NDC and what he's been doing for 35 years that has kept him employed and not in jail or anything like that.
I never said I wasn't in jail.
That's fair. So, all right. So, this Saturday coming up, we have our million comic sale in Elwood. So we're going to have the full gamut of the main store, including the basement, opens at 8 o'clock. Then we have the old store and the VFW also open from, I believe, 10 to 7, I believe.
They're noon to 7 are the other locations.
Noon to 7, okay.
Yeah. And if I didn't, John, I may not even have told you this. The old store location has new stuff. And I think you already know the VFW location has new stuff too as part of the day.
Yeah.
Old store has about, I want to say it's about 7,000 or 8,000 new comics that have not been out for sale before. Everyone's always wanting to see the new stuff. Like, okay, so we have new stuff because we buy stuff all the time. And the VFW has almost 10,000. I think it's over 10,000 new books that we added that day.
It's going to be nuts is what Todd's trying to say.
No one can see them all. So you have to pick your battles and proceed how you
feel. I will be there. Todd will be there. Tim might be shopping. There. I don't know.
I might be. Who knows? I did the last two. So.
It's true. You did. Yeah. I always showed up when you were leaving. This time it's impossible because I'm going to be there at 8 a.m. for the basement guys.
Oh, okay.
And then after that, I don't have the date in front of me. We have our anniversary sale or our customer appreciation sale. More details on that coming on the website probably tomorrow or Saturday. I just keep forgetting to put them up there. So just check. And keep an eye out for the email. If you aren't getting our e-blast, make sure you sign up for that on our email, our website.
Get blasted.
Anyway, get blasted with
email Todd alert.
I mean,
we can work on that.
Right? All right. Let's see here. Oh, we got two people watching. So it's probably Ron. It's okay.
It's probably Ron and Carl.
Probably Ron and Carl. Yeah. Almost definitely. So Amanda just went in the bedroom to watch it, and there it'll be funny. I'll see another one pop up here in a second. That's pretty much all we have coming up. And
Secret Warehouse
sale? Comics, huh?
I don't know how far out you want to go. Like Secret Warehouse sale is what is that? 2 weeks?
Well, that's the same weekend as the. The customer appreciation sale. So yeah, we could talk about that. Secret Warehouse sale is the 25th-ish.
I don't count in front of me. It sounds right though.
Yeah, me either. So 25th-ish of June. And it's almost all new stock, right, Todd? Like
it is. There we have 200 long boxes just arrived from Colorado that I've not even pawed through yet. We have long boxes from a buyout in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. That are and both of these, most of the Lancaster stuff are largely grouped. You know, I won't say they're sorted, but like you'll get there'll be a whole box of Superman and there'll be a whole box of a letter, that kind of thing. So people are always walking in the door and going, "Hey, is there any order to this?" This time there's actually kind of an order to this. I wouldn't say it's certainly not easy across the room, but I'm missing something. There's another, I think it's about another 100 boxes. That's new just for random small things that accumulated. And then to be fair, I want to say there's probably another 100 or 200 boxes that stuff that's been there before, but
so over half is new, which is what we want to know.
Oh yeah, it's there's what is that 400 box was for the would do the math 100 over 100,000 new comics to see.
Yeah. Wow, it's a lot. It's a lot of books. It's more than what I can go through in a day.
I'm counting them in my head right now.
I'm moved them myself. Hence the
look at that sort of muscle. Oh.
That's right. That's right, ladies. Sorry.
Oh, Papa, my hero.
It's really funny because we always say that when Todd starts freaking out, he looks like Kermit the Frog, and he's got those skinny arms. But you know,
when he's doing this. Like,
I've never heard you say that, but now that I have, I'm gonna make a note.
Right, someday there's gonna be a Kermit the Frog sketch with an NDC shirt and cargo pants sitting on your desk. So, from me to you,
pants.
Anyway, let's talk new release comics real quick while we have a minute.
Out of the way, get this new release stuff out of the way.
All right. Crap, where did mine go? Mine disappeared. So Tim, you're gonna have to go first.
So. All right.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, this is the event everybody's been waiting for. This is the Hellfire Gala. This is part one. And there's a specific reading order. I can even post that link later. So this kicks off the event where the X-Men are now inviting people and governments from around the world to come to Krakoa so they can mingle and try to bring the world together. Because ever since they formed their own nation, they've been viewed with even more hostility than normal, because people are afraid now they're trying to take over the world. So, but this was a good kickoff issue. You got to see a lot of cool characters coming into the gala, dressed up either in their costumes or dressed up in some cool like fashion wear. It was a really interesting idea that Hickman came up with. I know in the past and the Hellfire has done galas, but they were always a little bit different with bondage girls here and there and everywhere. So this one's more like a red carpet, like fashion event meeting people from around the world. So you get basically in this one kind of the lay of the land. You get to see like what all the other teams are up to, what X-Force is up to and how they're helping do security. And you get to see basically everybody's place within this event. And it's not, as far as like action wise, don't jump in thinking this is going to be like, oh, explosions and stuff everywhere. This is definitely the kickoff issue and a setup. So, but it was very good. And this is also one of those, yeah, this is like the Avengers first coming in. This is also one of those things, if this is something you're interested in, you might want to get, I'll tell you about this in a second. You might want to get in and sub to these, because I think we had like one copy left over because the subs went up for this as soon as they announced this event. So if this is something that you want to get, I'd get in the stores and sub to it. But this is Professor X in his bling wear, which is super weird. And they had done a little mini, which was the X-Men versus Fantastic Four, where they were both struggling and fighting over Franklin Richards because he's a mutant. So it kind of ended a little sour. And I thought this was a really cool scene where they come together and he's like, oh, I wanted to tell you this to your face. And he just whispers to him. And I'm really hoping we get to find out what he said to him.
Hail Hydra.
And I'm hoping it has the F-bomb in it. Or Hail Hydra. So, but anyways, this is a really good first issue. The artwork's fantastic, like it has been for the whole series. So I would get in there and sub to those.
That's awesome. All right, my first book is Out of Body from Aftershock, number one by Peter Milligan. This book was interesting. If you like Peter Milligan's like creepy, weird stuff, like kind of like what he did with like Wiccan and Divine, this book's similar in tone. You have a guy that we don't understand why he is in a coma, and a psychic girl, and the dude in the coma, his girlfriend loads him with drugs, and all of a sudden he has an out-of-body experience, and you find out that this was actually like something that the psychic was trying to hone in on, and there's another psychic collecting these bodies as they leave the body. So it's super weird. It's very hard to figure out what's actually going on in the first issue, but the art is fan-freaking-tastic. And I'm in for at least 3 issues of this because he has never let me down. So check it out.
I thought the artwork looked really cool on that book.
Oh, yeah. It was super good. All right. Your second book is...
Come on.
There it is.
There we go. Yes. This is part 2 of the Hellfire Gala, and I'll probably review almost all of these because I'm an X-Men fan. So this is the same kind of setup. The party's getting ready to start, but this is from the point of view of X-Force, who is basically providing the security. You know, this is some invited guests showing up. There's a picture we'll show you here shortly of some uninvited guests that are showing up. And X-Force is kind of scrambling to maintain all the borders and make sure that nothing happens. But it turns out that there are some planted, and that has double meaning, planted enemies within the Hellfire Gala event that are working against the X-Men. So it's a pretty straightforward issue, but the artwork is fantastic. The coloring is probably some of my favorite coloring in comics right now. This is definitely a must get. It's Guru Effects is doing the color. So, and there's your unwanted, uninvited guest.
No, I'm laughing at the part because he says, "Hey, sweetie."
Yeah. He says, "Hey, sweetie." And you see the yellow duck right away, but he has pink flamingo arm floaties on as well. And
that's, I think that's awesome.
Yeah. So I think this is the same colorist that did a lot of Uncanny X-Force too.
I would not be surprised on that.
Yeah.
I'll give you 1 second. All right. And my second book from Boom Studios, Mr. Colin Bunn's Basilisk, number 1. This was really cool. If you're into horror stuff, basically there are these people that can kill you with a look, very much so like what a mythical basilisk is like. And they killed some people. Some people are hunting them down. And then there are other ones that kind of live off the land that they're trying to reunite with. And it felt very, Colin Bunn. I can't really say it any other way. If you've read like any of his horror stuff, his Shadow Man, his Punk Mambo, his Dark Arc, all that stuff, that is the same kind of vibe. So if you like Colin Bunn's horror stuff and you're not really into the superhero stuff, check this book out. It is really, really good.
Boom's killing it.
They are, man.
They're really coming on. I mean, you know, they were with the Power Rangers, you know, stuff and reboot, but they're really putting out some cool titles.
And the Buffy stuff too. The Buffy reboot stuff was huge.
We got Buffy, Berserker is a Boom book. Something's Killing the Children is a Boom book.
Todd's like, I haven't even seen any of these books.
Actually, it's funny. Today, my job was, you said Boom's killing it. Today, my job was to kill Boom. I had some Boom overstock things that needed to go away. And that was my task today was... things, but they can't all be winners, right?
Right. Cool. All right. Well,
I get familiar with what Boom's doing about 5 years after when it comes in and like.
Yeah, I was going to say this stuff you're probably killing now is probably the early stuff before they started, I'd say within the last year or so.
Yeah. There's a lot of Escape from New York and Big Trouble in China, Bone Parachute.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The Angel Buffy stuff was just starting back then. So some of that, as good as it was, sometimes, you know, the quantities are just a little higher than the world needs. And then they end up in my care. And that's the polite way of me saying, into grab bags they go.
Right.
depends on what it is, of course. But
cool. All right. So now we're going to segue into Todd. But first, I will let you know that I will be randomly flashing pictures from this thing, which is the 15th anniversary special. So this book's already 20 years old.
It's the 20th anniversary of the 15th anniversary special.
Right.
I did the math.
Which was really funny because, like, this is stamped with an old stamp, and two of those stores don't exist anymore. Well, they do exist, just not in the place they are now.
Location, right, yeah. I have that problem, yeah. It's so.
All right. So what we do, Todd, whenever we have a guest on the podcast is we call this the origin story.
I do sound effects. It's low budget sound effect.
It's super low budget effect, but I loved it. What we do is you get a few minutes to tell everybody, like, basically your backstory, like how you ended up getting into comics, how you ended up starting the company, I guess would be the thing. But like where you grew up, what you were into when you were a kid, how you got into it, and then so on and so forth. And then at some point, you already know what slides I have, so you can just let me know when to put one up.
So I get a few minutes to talk about three decades plus of...
No, you get a few minutes to talk about you, just you, for a few minutes. And then we're going to talk about the company.
Well, I started as a boy.
Right. I had a question. I was curious. So as you, this became a joke early on when you get guys decide you want to do a podcast and somebody had the idea to call it a Toddcast based on me, which is great. And I've only appeared on one other episode because we had all converged at Pittsburgh Mills for a screening of, I can't remember if it was Iron Man 2 or Iron Man 3. And you guys were all, you were podcasting about it.
I think it was 3.
Afterwards. And I snuck in on the edge of a microphone and talked for like 2 minutes, maybe. And I'm a big non-spoiler guy. So whatever I said, I'm sure fell in that category. But that's the only other time I've been on the Toddcast named after my namesake, which is crazy. And I'm a very humble guy. I don't really need things named after me, but it was kind of fun to have Toddcast. I get it. It made sense. But I'm curious, what number, do we have a number? Like what number?
136?
138, actually.
138.
Wow. It's the legacy numbering is 138.
So for that many, I've appeared for maybe 2 minutes on one episode. And so, no secret, it's not my thing, but at the same time, if people were curious and interested, I will endeavor to be entertaining. So,
well, for the four people watching, this is their thing.
All right. Fantastic.
Well, no, I say four people watching live, we usually get about 30 to 50 in post. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, send me the link. I can ramp that up. Obviously, I get an extra like 7. Maybe.
We'll take
all
it.
Of your nieces and nephews each.
That's we'll right. Yeah, it. Exactly.
Yeah. Andrew, share this with your siblings. Do it.
Right. Right.
All right. So, what is the origin story of Todd McDivitt?
All right. So So by the way, none of this is scripted. I've given this half a thought. That's about it. The only thing I want to encourage is convention beer. There's no way I was going to do this without a beer in my hand. This is the this is now 6 years old, the first 3RC convention beer. So I'm sipping on that out of the 25th anniversary pint glass, which I now just covered completely up. You can't even see.
You're just gonna have to drink it again. It's fine.
I'll chug it. So I think some of these are still for sale in some of the stores. We had a handful left. the goal was for the 25th anniversary, I had 25 artists that had worked with us prior do a jam piece. And there's a bunch of cool little artists noodled in there that you can't see. I also have, there's a red version and a blue version. This is the worst version. But John, you mentioned the 15th anniversary special. That was something I intended to continue like for the 25th anniversary or like whatever sort of like benchmark year happened. And then just the business got so busy. There was no time to like that anniversary special took a month of my life that I just sat behind a computer. And this is tech 20 years ago, wasn't too savvy. And there's some misspellings in there, which people love to point out. And that's, I always joke, that's my way of knowing that they read it when they say, oh, you misspelled that word. I'm like, oh, now I know you paid attention.
My spelling sucks, so I would never find it anyway. And I almost guarantee the same computer is still sitting in your office with a disk drive in it, probably with this in it.
It was somewhere.
Like the last computer you bought.
With a 3.5-inch floppy.
So, that book was printed with, that wasn't even like, I didn't even send files. I sent hard copies of, I'd printed out pictures and the text and wherever there was a picture that I had to like cut paste in, that was all like hand done. Somewhere I have like the original kind of like paste up of that. Wow. And that gets sent off to the printer and done as it was done. So I guess I'm fast forwarding a little bit, but just a curious part about that. Joe Linsner, who I've been a fan of forever, was kind enough to do the cover, and there was a hidden agenda to that he was trying to get into DC Comics to do cover art, cover paintings in particular. And so one thing led to another. I was talking to Joe about what to do, and his signature character is Dawn, hence, you know, a beer bottle. He's like, I really want to do a DC character. So he did a Supergirl that was with the S on her chest. And at some point I have the original artwork to that. I think that's on the original art. It had the S on it originally, so he could show that to DC, and then he repainted over it and made it an NDC thing. Anyway, and then I can't remember which came first. I believe, and then he asked me what my favorite character was. I said, I like Batman. So he painted me a Batman that he brought to me another time. But so I was like, hey, can I put the back cover? Anyway, tells my point. So part of this was myself and Wayne Winnicott from Time Warp in Colorado, also a Joe Linsner supporter. We kind of went to Mike Carlin in DC at the time. We're like, hey, this guy's got a real big fan following. If this guy did like Spectre covers for you, or he's kind of little known for the chick thing, you know, maybe that's does Power Girl, you know, something. This would really maybe move the needle on some of the books that need some help. And nothing came of it, but it was an effort that we were proud of. And we actually had that meeting with Mike Carlin about Joe Linsner, and it was kind of fun stuff. So at some point during this, and I'll just say it now, this could be another entire podcast perhaps. I always joke I want to write a book about all the stuff I almost did. I have like all this cool, crazy stuff, and I'm a real big, great secret keeper. Like there are things I like starting rumors. So like if something wasn't going to happen, until it's confirmed, I don't tell anybody. So there's some things that I started the process on and it never clicked and it never happened, but it's decades in the past now and nobody cares. And I'm sure it's all, and including nobody cares to hear about it now would be part of the problem, but that would be fun to do. But so far I'm eating up this time very well. And I have, how much time do I have to deal with per year now? A minute?
You're now down to about 33 seconds per year.
All right. So. Fantastic. So my comic origin, it starts and ends very quickly. So ironically, I ran across this in a comic collection just this week, and I knew I was doing this today. So this was my first comic book. 1979, Peter Parker, Spider-Man number 33. And I don't even remember why. I was a kid, and I remember getting that. It was the first of a three-part story. And I remember going back to the newsstand every month to get the next chapter. And I got all three chapters of the story, and I was done. And I was done. I didn't buy another comic book until 1980. So my next comic book after that was Alpha Flight number 4. So I don't know the year on that offhand. I want to say it's 85.
According to your book that I'm tracking everything that you're trying to say, it was 1983.
83. Wow. Okay.
I was 2 years old.
Three.
Actually, sorry. So, in August, I was almost 2 years old.
So the backstory to the Alpha Flight thing was prior to that, I was very into non-sport trading cards was my hobby. So, and at some point I dialed into like mail order places and you could order a box for a discount. And I would do that. And at some point, fun side story, there was a local kind of weekly paper, free paper that you could place ads in. And at some point, like, oh, I don't really want a full box of Moonraker cards. So maybe I'll put this ad in here and see if anybody wants to split them with me. And this guy approached me and says, yeah, I like cards too. And I wouldn't mind doing some of that with you. And maybe we can trade some of the things you have. That guy is Wayne, who works for us this day.
Oh, wow.
Crazy.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's how I got to know Wayne. So, so I don't know what year that would, it had to be 83, 82. I don't know. And anyway, so my first passion was non-sports cards. And then very early on, I collected Mad Magazine. Actually, I did. It didn't last forever, but for some reason, I liked Mad Magazine. It was easy to collect. I don't know. So I did that for a while. But at some point, high school, actually grade school, a friend of mine named Matt Brady, who is a part of a longer story. If this becomes a multi chaptered podcast, we'll get into that, or I'll try to cut to the chase towards the end here. He and his brother and his family were going down to Pittsburgh for a summer day and hanging out for the day. And there's Matt Brady looking good. And he said, hey, Todd, you want to come along? We're going to go to Pittsburgh. And I think if it was fireworks or an arts festival or something, something on the point. And they're like, hey, do you want to come down? We're going to go to a comic store too. And I'm like, well, that's great, but I'm not, you know, at the time, I'm sorry, I need to back up a little bit. Prior to that, Matt Brady gave me an Alpha Flight number 1 to read. He's like, here's something new, something fresh. You don't have to know anything about the history of the Avengers or Spider-Man. You can just, you know, out of the starting gate, kind of get to know these characters. And I read it and I was like, that's all right. It didn't blow me away, to be honest. And then I still was very interested in, it was the Android 10 of guy that I have somewhere. I still have all this. I have graph paper that was like Star Wars Blue Series card number 37. I have 6 of them. And to get 6 sets, I need another 2 of number 29 or something like that. Somewhere I have all this still. It's still intact with those quantities, apparently. And anyway, but they knew I was into that. So like, hey, it's a comic book store, but they also sell individuals of these trading cards. Do you want to go? Like, sure, sounds great. And I don't know, how old was I? I have no idea. 13, 15, somewhere in there. And so we go to Pittsburgh and we go and I get kind of swept up in the comic book thing after looking at through these cards. I brought my checklist, like my list of cards I needed. And I do that whole thing and I'm buying cards for a dime a piece and like all excited. I'm sure it was that super annoying customer. And at the end of it, I'm like, oh, you know what? Alpha Flight wasn't so bad. I'll go ahead. So prior to that, I bought number 4 off the newsstand, which I acknowledge is my first comic book that I purchased as a collector. And then now I had to backtrack and get 1 through 3, which I did at the comic book store. And I liked Vigilante. I like that kind of stuff. I'm a James Bond fan, so it was close enough to me. So I bought that. And what I always tell people when I tell a story is like one comic led to 2 led to 4. Before you know it, you got more comic books, you know what to do with. And I'm a reading X-Men, and I pronounced it was Charles Xavier because I didn't know how to say it. No one's proved me wrong.
Sorry. That was wow.
I mentioned I grew up in a small town.
Anyway. Well, not like now you can type the name in, be like, how do I say, you know, this? Yeah. And let the computer tell to you.
Yeah, there's none of that. So
no, Todd's phone's like 10 years old. It needs a new one to get to do that.
There's that too.
Sorry. I will always goof on my boss for his lack of technology.
I embrace it.
So we have some pictures out of the book that I took pictures of, that we'll talk a little bit about each one real quick. Sure. And then we'll talk about random stuff after that. So here's the first one. And this is the very first day ever in 1986.
True. This is so the address. I rented this building on the main street of Elwood City. I forget the exact number of the address, but whatever it was like 428 and a half. It was a very small building. And the landlord was willing to rent it to me for the summer between my junior and senior year in high school. And I ran a comic shop out of there for 3 months. And I had a bit of an exit plan to partner up with another business down the street, which I did. Which is sad to me, by the way. You know, if there's any lesson here, everyone, and when you live in a world now, you can do this more, but like take more pictures. Like I have no pictures of like certain stores I've had, like zero. It's kind of crazy. So after 3 months of being in there, I'm clearly back in high school. I'm like, well, what am I going to do? So I partnered up with the a newsstand a half a block away or a block away at that point. And they took sales for me during the day. I rented this little kiosk kind of scenario in their front window. And it was a great archaic system. They had these teeny tiny envelopes. They were like the envelopes you get, like when you get like flowers, like, I don't know, like an inch and a half by like 2 inches square. And they had for some reason, they had a million of these. So they would, if they made a sale, they would write on the envelope with this, what sold, and put the money in that envelope. So I'd come down after school. School was, by the way, only like two blocks away from there. So I'd come down after school and like, hey, how'd I do today? And they'd hand me this pile of envelopes. And some days there'd be like some high roller would come in and spend like $17. So I was like, whoa, what am I gonna do now? This is crazy. And I just existed, you know, and I'd do what I could to stock up the section and do what I did for a while there. So
awesome.
I want to backtrack a little bit. There's one part of the story that is pre-all of this that I didn't really get to. And not a people... I get asked this once in a while, but not a lot. People ask me how I came up with the name. And I wish I had a real distinct way of remembering the kind of aha moment of how I came up with the name. And I say I in quotes, and there's a reason for that. So Matt Brady, who I referenced earlier, Matt and I started the business together in high school. And there was a point where I wanted to open a comic shop that summer. And he wanted to go away and do something educational for the summer. So I bought out his half of the business for, I think it was $100 and a pile of comics. I don't remember. But prior to that, coming up with the name New Dimension Comics, what I do remember was getting into comics. One of the things that fascinated me was the concept of alternate dimensions and alternate realities. And the nerds that we were hanging out before band practice, we would bullshit about what would happen if there was a dimension flux in this wall over here and you stuck your arm and then like, would you be okay? And what's that alternate reality look like? And so we had a lot of conversations about alternate dimensions, new dimensions. And that's where the name came from. I honestly can't remember if I said it first or Matt said it first. And maybe I'll send Matt this link and, you know, he'll contact his lawyers. We'll see. But it came from that. I like I said, I wish I could remember a distinct moment when that happened, but I don't. So that was 35 years ago, more than 35 years ago. So lost cool. The brain.
It's all right. All right. So
I'm sorry. Carry on. I want to get that part out of the way.
It's okay. It's okay. Technically in the book, it's after this picture. So, but, so we have the opening night, your brother, your parents, super tall, young stud, you know, you never wear button down shirts anymore. I never see you wear them in the stores. It's weird.
I have a pile up. I'm working in the warehouse. Half the time my jeans have holes in them. Nobody.
I'm also pretty sure though, that your parents have that exact outfit still. So
I might have that shirt. Is that a, do you have like a shirt on under there? Or is that, because it kind of looks like a pimp chain a little bit.
Oh,
sounds like, but a personal, I can't tell.
Pimp chain. Pimp chain.
I was a big fan of pimp chain. Big fan of the Risky Business sunglasses. Somewhere, I'm sure you guys have all seen the poster that's we did. What did we do that for? Was that 5 years ago, John? The
yeah. Actually, that was the picture we used for the Facebook event. So.
Was that five years ago? I know what is faded, like,
yeah,
which is probably good, but
all right.
Anyway, yeah, it was the 80s.
There's you and Matt again.
So this is the high school used to host a hobby fair, and the idea was you would, if whatever your hobby was, you would come in and showcase it. And so Matt and I came in. What am I holding? I can't even tell.
I can't tell either. It's very white.
I'd probably something very awesome.
I'll see if it lets me know a little more, but I don't think it does.
So the hobby fair was very, very dry, and there was a lot of really boring hobbies. And then we had Superman and Spider-Man, and we were the cool ones. This is the
one you can't tell.
The one time in high school we were cool. One day.
And Matt's gone on to stay in the comic world as well. Like he just a couple years ago did a Rick and Morty book. He did Big Con Job, because that's how I met his dad by accident in Cranberry when he came to buy it. And he's been a supporter. Didn't he work for like CBR or something for a while too?
He did Newsarama for a while.
That was it.
So there's a giant story to that, which since you brought it up, I'm going to tell it quick. I'll do my best.
Sure.
So Matt got me into comics, and you know, Matt and I started this business together. So like if somebody gets credit for the spark, Matt gets that credit. And then Matt went on to do other things, and I carried on the flame. And many, 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 many years later, I was doing, remember the Overstreet Monthly? I forget what it was called. The Overstreet did a monthly magazine that was kind of a wizard competitive thing. It was just called Overstreet Monthly, it was called Comic Book Marketplace. Is that it? I don't know.
I remember, yeah.
At some point, I started writing for that, and Matt would help me out. Like at this point, Matt was living in, I think, South Carolina at the time. And he was interested in he was still collecting comics. He was still just interested in what was kind of on the pulse of what was going on in comics. And he said, "Hey, do you mind if I kind of co-write these things with you?" And I'm like, "I don't really have time to do this full tilt anyway. So yeah, like you and I can bullshit the phone for a minute and like we'll try to figure this out." And so we did that for a minute. And then one thing led to another, and he was interested in, he's like, "I really like this new writer on Flash named Mark Waid, and I kind of want to do like this feature article on him. And do you think they would be up for something like that?" So I reached out to, you know, at that point, my editor and said, "Hey, my kind of co-writer here wants to do something like that. Do you guys need that kind of material?" And they said, "Yeah, we do, but you know, we'd like to see what he does. You know, we want to make sure it's quality, of course." And so Matt wrote an article about Mark Waid's Flash run at that point, very early into it. And they loved it. And that led to him doing more articles for them. He eventually did some articles for Wizard. And then he eventually did stuff with Newsarama to the point that he was, I think, co-founder is a fair term. Like, there's a point where it was him and another guy. And at some point, Matt wanted to do other things, and Newsarama was kind of topping out, and they cashed out, essentially. And, you know, Newsarama still exists, but it's under a different umbrella, different ownership. But, you know, Matt never let comics go. And he's always – he's a science teacher now, so he's very science-minded, so he loves, like, the atom and, like, those types of characters. So anything he can do to kind of weave that in, and he does it with his classroom. He weaves in, like – he does this thing called a Deadpool drop. If Deadpool drops off a bridge into a moving car, like, how does the science and the gravity and how's the math work to do that? And it, you know, give him a lot of credit. It gets his kids interested. And he's in a place where getting kids interested in that sort of thing is tough. So he's found a way to, like, well, you like Deadpool, right? Well, let's figure out what Deadpool would do. And that becomes, you know, compelling to them. Anyway, I promised a short story. So
no, that's awesome. That was a good story. Good story.
At some point, like, Matt sent me this, and I have it somewhere buried. Someone will find it when I'm dead. This lovely card or letter that basically said, hey, Todd, this whole thing has come full circle. Like, I got you into comics, and you made this whole thing. And at that point, I don't know, I'm on my third store. I don't remember what year it was. And he's like, but you drug me back into it with this article thing. And now I'm doing this other thing. And now I'm like, you got me back into it. Whether I wanted to, or whether it was deliberate or not, doesn't matter. So it was very touching. And
it's awesome.
Very, very cool. And then, so since then, he's written a Rick and Morty book. He's got other stuff. He's fishing around, and, you know, Con Job was one of those things. And he's been writing for Ahoy Comics too. Which I didn't know. Like, there's a day I got one of those in a collection. I was like, oh, Brady. Oh, that couldn't possibly be Matt. I open it up. It's Matt. Like, I don't even know. Like, one of my best all-time, like, lifetime friends. I didn't even know this was happening.
I am curious. I can't remember what the name of the book is.
It's like The Science of Rick and Morty, I think. The Rick and Morty, or which? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was probably the Rick and Morty book.
I think it's called The Science of Rick and Morty.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like an actual, like, book, though, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Continuing on with random pictures out of this anniversary special.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I got to the point where I opened a store, and that's it.
This is the very first NDC logo.
So I have zero artistic skills, but at the same time, I'm like, I'm going to try to draw this thing. And if you don't recognize it, that is Wolverine's claws from Frank Miller's Wolverine miniseries number one. And that was my rip on it. And the idea was they would be shining and sparkling, and the eyes on the dimension would cross over, which is a fun side story. So years later, I pitched a logo, which I think is still in the Elwood store right now, because I insist on that old sign staying there, with Lockheed from the X-Men. The original logo for that had Lockheed shooting a puff of smoke, and inside the puff of smoke, it said New Dimension Comics. So I pitched that whole thing to Marvel, and Marvel rejected it. And they said, well, Lockheed shooting a puff of smoke and having your logo inside suggests some sort of, like, tie and sponsorship with Marvel Comics and your business, so we can't have that. So I had to get rid of the puff of smoke.
Wow.
Otherwise, I didn't care about Lockheed, but all I did was put the copyright and stuff on there. They're cool.
All right, next one.
Just like Lockheed as an X-Men fan, I like Lockheed for some reason. It was cool.
Me too.
It wasn't like just Spider-Man or Batman on there. It was something different.
Right. This is hopping around. This is Mark Bell from Bell's Comics. When you bought the Butler location,
I think you just like this because I'm wearing a button-down shirt again.
No, it's because it's evil, Todd. Because it's
With the beard and the mustache.
It's mirror universe, Todd. I love it.
I got wind that Mark was up. So Mark still has a store in Grove City. He's still a good friend. And he opened that store in Butler during the Pokemon craze. And he intended just to open it up for kind of like a Christmas season. But it just continued to do well for like a full year into the following Christmas season. And but then things were kind of petering out and it was a little more than he wanted to tackle. So at some point he made some announcement that he was going to close it. So I reached out to him like, hey, I didn't know you were going to close that. I'd be interested in taking a poke at this. So I met with him, at which I know the caption says that I can't quite read it.
That's Christmas Eve 2000.
Christmas Eve. Yeah. So, and he was all set to shut that store down at the end of December. So, you know, a week later. And I was like, well, I roll in and I had to roll in. We were trying to be discreet. So it was after he closed for business that day. And so I assessed the store and figured out a number. I said, you know, worst case scenario, man, like I'll run this for a month or two. And if it doesn't work for me, I'll just hand out flyers to everybody that says, hey, I got a store in Cranberry. I got a store in Elwood City. They're 70 miles, you know, pick your direction. And that was, by the way, that was a funny coincidence. It's like when Butler happened, it was almost exactly 17 miles between each store. So that became my magic number of like, that's the buffer distance to make stores far enough apart and work. It was a complete accident, but can't really, you know, fault it for being true. Anyway, so Mark accepted my offer at 2 o'clock in the morning and I wrote a check. He handed me the keys and
I think you were just like, I'm going to use this check and hopefully Y2K happens. Oh, no, yeah, wait, never mind. It'd have been a year later. Never mind.
No, yeah, I was going to say, to be fair, this was 2000. This is already 2000. Not yeah. 19. So, yeah.
All right. Here's a cool. Oh, my God. I just realized that tablecloth we actually still have floating around in the store somewhere.
Hopefully it's hanging up somewhere. My mom made that.
It was hanging at one point, and then I think it got rolled up for some reason. But I'll try to find it and put it up again.
This is the part where I get upset. More logo.
Yeah.
More logo.
So, talk about this. Was this the first time you had met Joe? And there's a back of this book, the Batman that's on the back of this.
No. So. Geez, when?
Well, this would have been 20 years ago. So
this was during Dark Ivory. Am I reading that correctly?
Yes.
You'd done a signing at the store prior to that. That was when Dawn 1 came out, and we did a T-shirt with it. He did, I think, 3 stores. It was the same artwork in all those store shirts. Featured like a circle image with the Dawn character and the store name at the bottom. And it turned out great. And we did some prints with that. This is before eBay, so everyone just had to come in and get stuff there. This is the Evil Todd 2 again. Look, wow.
I love Mirror Universe Todd. It's great.
Looks like I'm wearing a button-down shirt again.
I think
Todd Zorro. Is it Todd Zorro?
Zorro Todd. And then this was the trifecta map you were talking about with the 17 miles. So
I think so, yeah. And the map was always annoying because I would put that on flyers at the time. And Cranberry in particular, they would add red lights every, I don't know, 6 months or so. So I'd have to update the map with a new red light. And then at some point, everyone could do this on their phones. So it didn't matter. So.
And you have to be careful because if you go too far past Butler, apparently you go to nothing, it looks like. That's pretty awesome.
You didn't know where I grew up.
Don't pass the Butler store.
Yeah. John, if you don't know this, one of my favorites is like there was a point we were meeting. I'm just calling him out. we were supposed to meet all the managers, and Chris Stoner was coming up for a meeting.
Okay.
And he plugged in Cranberry PA.
Oh, no.
So there is a Cranberry PA. It's like, I think it's near Oil City.
It is.
Like almost 2 hours from where
yeah.
Cranberry Township is. And he went there. And
that's all right. My first time going to Cranberry for a manager's meeting, I accidentally got on the turnpike in Cranberry and went all, I had to go all the way down to the Elwood Beaver Falls exit and turn around and come back. Luckily, there were no tolls. So I still made it on time, though.
Chris did not.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. So, well, what other fun thing? Like, so since the Butler store, obviously, you then put a store in Century 3 when we were upstairs, right?
Yeah, so Century 3 was a bit of a dare. So a good friend of mine, Jim, was there doing marketing,
market research.
He was the guy. If you ever ran across someone in the mall with a clipboard asking you survey questions, he ran that kind of company, and he was on my case for I don't know, a good half a year, if not more. He's like, Todd, this mall is huge. That's just it's a great opportunity. There's nothing else around. Like, you know, I've seen what you do. This seems like a good fit. Blah blah blah. So. At some point, just actually took a stab at it. And, you know, the rest is sort of history. We were on the top floor for a minute, which is right by where Jim's office was. So that was convenient. Jim's trusted friend, you know, at some point he had a key. Like, if, you know, there's a problem, he could take care of stuff. And then we relocated that. I believe, John, you were around for this down to the bottom floor.
Whoa. First off, Jim's the guy that hired me. So you have a lot to thank Jim for.
Sorry, lost his details. I'll have to thank him for that.
Yeah, Jim was the manager there when I was hired as a part-time guy upstairs while I was working also at Foot Locker at the time. So
yeah, there was some derailment where like his thing there didn't work out. And he wanted to come over and do things with me. And he was very dedicated to like, this could work great. And we were between managers and he's like, I'm going to do this for 3 months or whatever. And like, I'm going to prove. And he did, he like tripled sales in like 3 months. Like he knew, and he didn't know.
Was he a little shorter?
Yeah.
Okay. I started going. I think when he was there and then the other guy was Pat.
Was
the other guy.
He would have been after Pat though.
Probably.
Yeah, I don't know. I just know those two guys from when I went upstairs. That's when I started going to New Dimension.
Jim is the one I lovingly refer to as Pappy.
Mm.
So, because when I would come in with my Foot Locker gear on, he would call me Coach, even though I was a ref. So, and because his hair was already graying, I started calling him Pappy. So, you know, we were... It was mean love. We loved it. We still call each other that to this day. So, but no, Jim's great. I love Jim. He was a great guy to work for and still a good friend of mine now too, as well, all these years later. So then, you know, at one point, you know, we had, or yeah. So we were there, we moved the store downstairs and then, you know, then Tim showed up, and then the mall flooded and moved to the waterfront.
And I saved a life.
And you saved the life of the mall manager. Right.
That's right.
My hero.
I've worked a lot of retail jobs. That was the weirdest day I've ever had. Like you pull up, there's fire trucks outside. I'm like, what's going on? They're like, you can't go in. I'm like, I work at this store. And she's like, oh, then I need you. Let's go. Hurry up. Water raining down everywhere.
But you know, from the good will always come, or from the bad will always come some good. So
yeah.
And it worked out. So
that's true.
And then it was a month before we decided we were gonna move downstairs. was when I went and took over the Pittsburgh Mills as the manager, because that had been open for a year. And that has, you know, grown very crazy, crazy, awesome, good. What is my dog?
Yeah.
And then, you know, we've opened Ohio since then. So you've kind of surrounded the city, you know, and, you know, it's Todd territory.
Yeah. I was
Toddatory.
I was joking. We don't have a store like in Pittsburgh, but we have a store surrounding Pittsburgh. So yeah, similar. Right. And you know, I say this, like, there's so much more opportunity. Like, it's an underserved hobby, and, you know, there's still potential. And I'm not saying we're looking, because I all of these last several stores, like, my only deliberate new store was Cranberry. Butler just kind of happened. And then Century 3, okay, just kind of happened. I had people to do it, and I had the right situation. I don't know. Pittsburgh Mills was probably kind of deliberate, to be fair. And then Ohio was a bit of an accident. There was a brewery involved. And actually, it's the 501st fault, if you don't know that. Did I tell you that story?
Mm-hmm.
So the 501st was doing a parade in Wheeling. And I was helping them out, and I needed to kill some time. And I was like, oh, I heard about this mall that someone else on you know, other side of the equation was like, hey, there's this mall, and it's kind of your thing, Todd. It's like a struggling mall, and it's got big spaces, and, you know, you should check it out. So I did. So, like, while they were hours worth of 501st prepping for some, I think it was a Christmas parade, if I'm not mistaken, some parade. And so I go, and you know, it's a whopping 15 minutes away. So I come back, and I go to, I think it's some boring name, like Wheeling Brewing or something. Mm-hmm. And I end up BSing with some nerds that happen to work for the local newspaper, and they've still been a good contact for us for press. And I spilled my guts. I'm like, well, now what do you think about a comic book store over in Ohio Valley? And they, like, lit up. They're, like, super excited. All right. I guess we'll think about this. And did it. Rest is history.
See, I didn't know there was a think about it stage. I just got a phone call that said, hey, you're opening a store in Ohio. And I went,
At some point, there was reach out to the mall. Well, what do you guys need for the space? And, different characters involved in that conversation right. Over the time we've been there change how it goes, but we're still there, so still working out.
So what is the craziest moment you've had with NDC, like, whether it be something cool in a collection or somebody that came in or a connection that was made? Like, what is the coolest thing that you've ever gotten out of NDC in the last 35 years?
That is a great question. I wish you'd give me some time to think about that. There are lots of good stories. This is probably not my favorite answer, but, like, a fun story, back when I was behind the counter in Cranberry, and I was a big fan of Garth Ennis's run on Hellblazer. Sorry. I was working with Hellraiser today because it was Boom Studios. stuck in my brain. And there's a point where I'm the only guy in the store, and it was kind of busy, and I'm not behind the counter. I'm, like, out on the floor doing stuff. And there's some people shopping, and they're doing their thing. At some point, I bounced back behind the counter, and it became evident that I was the person running the store. And this guy and with his girl come up to the counter with a Hellraiser graphic novel they plucked off the shelf. And I kind of knew I was not evidently the help guy. So I was kind of like, oh, hey, I'm sorry. You know, what can I do to help you? And the guy said, I'll tell you what you can do to help me. You can stop selling this shit. And he spikes the Hellraiser graphic novel behind the counter. And it was one of the stories that had an upside down cross or like some anti-Christian message. And he starts to storm out the store. You know, first of all, he damaged some of my goods, whatever, but like, and I have a store full of people and I can't really tackle him. Like, what am I gonna do? So my impulse reaction was, I said, I'm sorry, I believe in a free America. And I don't know where I came up with that, but that's what I said to him before he hit the door, and he at least got to hear that from me. So that was fun. Collection wise, man, some great stuff has just strolled in. I'll never forget. There's this old lady that came in. I was in, this could be another hole. How much time do we have? This could be another hole.
we can run a little long tonight. It's fine. Anything for the Godfather.
I'll do my best to dial this in. So I'm in Erie buying a comic collection. And this is early in the days of cell phones. So I have a flip phone, and my phone goes off, and it's a big storage unit that I'm loading. Like it's a big deal in Erie. My phone goes off. Hey Todd, where are you? And that's like, John, that's like when you call me and you're like, hey Todd, where are you? I'm like, oh shit, what's on fire? Like, what's the problem now?
Are you sitting down?
Yeah. And I don't remember who it was at the time. It was somebody, it was in a cranberry store. I can't remember who the staff was. And this woman just came in. She has a Batman 4, a Batman 7. And she's like, this is just a couple of books I have. And she wants to know if you're interested. I'm like, ask her what she's doing tomorrow. And yes. So I met her the next day and bought all her comics. One of my favorites was she had the comics sifted out into piles, and there was kind of like decent comics. And then she had like a pile of stuff that was tattered and ravaged and just annihilated kind of stuff. I'm like, well, I'm still going to go through that. And there was an All-American 16 there. The only one I ever owned. Yeah.
Oh.
So annihilated or not, I ended up selling that book for $13,000 like years later. I wrote her an enormous check that at the time was a daunting prospect for me. Like, you know, business is good enough now that wouldn't have been such a thing. But, the news came and covered it. And she was very clear. Like, I don't want, like, these were my husband's and he died and I don't really want them in the spotlight. And, you know, the news was kind of hounding me about that. Like, no, she wants to remain anonymous, whatever.
Right.
But the one thing like the news covered that she told me this, not all of this was true. She was out shopping for a new car the next day based on the amount she got from the comic books. So,
wow.
Be happy about that.
That's awesome.
So probably the best story is another amazing golden age batch of stuff came along. Trying to remember how this went down. Guy calls me, and it's you get these calls all the time. It's like, oh, I've got Action Comics number one, and it's been reprinted 10 million times. So, you know, one of the tricks I do is like, well, what size is it? You know, and they get a measure.
Does it have a barcode?
Yeah, does it have a barcode? Does it have 50 cents on the cover? Yeah, exactly. Like that. So he goes, well, I've got Detective Comics 27, which, again, reprinted a million times. I've got, I'm trying to remember the second book. It was Action Comics 7 and More Fun 52, which is the first Spectre, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So immediately my brain goes to like, well, those last two have never been reprinted. Well, More Fun 52 maybe since, like in like the Millennium gold foil thing or whatever. But back then, not reprinted. So I'm like, holy crap, he might have the real deal. And he's like, yeah, and I have a bunch of others too. I'm like, well, I'd like to see a sample of them. You know, I'd like to meet you about that. So I go to meet him the next day once I find out this is real. And he made it very clear to me. He's like, I got a lot of people I want to offer these to. You know, if you just, you know, treat me fair, I'm going to be happy with that. You know, I went to someone else that I didn't feel like I got that kind of treatment. So I'm on to the next guy, and you're the next guy. And if you're not the guy, then I'll move on to the next guy. I'm like, fine. And he had like a whole list of like different dealers that I their names, and like, okay, no problem. So, and I made it clear to him, like, I'm pretty anxious to get this stuff. So I will do what I got to do. And so I thought he was going to bring like crappy books in. I thought he was going to bring like, I said, just bring like an example of like the condition, just roughly. I thought he was going to bring in like, I don't know, Detective Comics number like 92 or something, like just stuff for me to look at. He brings in Detective 27, Morphin 52, and the Action 7, which if you don't know, Action 7 is the second Superman cover. So it's a significant book. So I spent more time looking at those three books than I've ever looked at three books in my life, and did a lot of sweating, did a lot of figuring out, and
took out a mortgage.
There was literally a loan involved at the time. And I said, here's where I pay for these three books. He's like, well, if you treat me right on these, the rest are yours too. It's a matter of doing the math. Like, okay. So, and the rest weren't too shabby either. I don't remember. Somewhere I have a list of them. But anyway, so I ended up buying all those books, and I obviously sold those books, and it was a good time. He and his wife used that money to adopt a kid from Russia. So I was very proud of that. So like,
that's, it was awesome.
Substantial enough amount of money. This was beyond car money that like they needed. They couldn't have a kid of their own apparently, and they had their eye on adopting a kid. And I kept in touch with him for I think almost a year after that. There was some speculation about the quality of the books and things like that. That me being in touch with him was a good idea, and it was fine. And you know, he'd given me that update, and I don't know, it's kind of cool. So.
That's super cool. All right. So what is the, how did I have this? I had it a few minutes ago, and then your story went a little longer than I expected.
Really?
What? What? I feel like we're having a meeting. I was going to say, like, what book have you not bought yet that you really want to get?
Like, that's a great question.
Yeah.
So it's a great question for a couple of reasons. Captain America 1. I can tell you almost to the day for a reason. Because it was, I'll never forget. It was Free Comic Book Day weekend. And I was busy doing something else. So I couldn't be in a store. And I got offered a Captain America 1. And it was an estate situation, and they needed to liquidate it fast. And, you know, one thing led to another. And honestly, those all became red flags. And I started asking specific questions about the book that they were at the end. In the end, it turned out to be fraud, unfortunately. Mm. But for a day, I thought it was real. And for a day, I knew what it was. And for that day, it was Free Comic Book Day, and you guys, all the stores are sending me reports of like sales, and I'm not shy about this. I tell people this all the time. It's our best sales day of the year. It's better than Black Friday. It's better than anything else we do. You know, obviously non-COVID era, Free Comic Book Day has clicked, and it has made it moves the needle for all of us in the industry and in the hobby. And we were just almost to that number I needed to buy that book. And it was somewhere in Kentucky. And I'm like, I will hop in the car and I will drive to you and I will see this book and I will make sure I'm good with it. And I will pay for it on the spot. And said one thing led to another and turned out to be fraud. So,
ooh.
They were all, we need 10% down like now. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not, you know, so.
Wow.
They sent me a scan of the back cover and the back cover didn't match the front cover. It was stuff like that. So anyway.
Wow. Right.
But cap one.
Jeez. Tim, do you have any questions? I know I'm kind of hogging the time here.
Please.
I need a new car. If you want to buy my Gambit number one, I have two copies. So. No, so like, how about people that you've met through, you know, this 35 years? Is there anybody that like really stands out? Wow. Whether it's like a creator or anything that you're just like, wow, that was amazing. I got to meet this person.
I mean, there've been some, you know, I've lucked out and met some, you know, celebrity caliber guys that, you know, that. I'm like a teenage girl. I just like I sell up and like, I can't talk to them. But like more, my answer is like, it's mostly fellow retailers, store owners, dealers, even like these convention guys, weekend warriors. I give a lot of credit to like some of the guys that, who have been hosting conventions relentlessly for the past several decades. And like, I never would have gotten to know some of these guys without those events. And even our own event we just had a couple weeks ago, same thing, like, you know, it was almost a bit of a reunion. And like, they've all become like valuable friends, but also valuable business partners. Like, we had a situation today that luckily I resolved without you guys being involved, that friend of a friend situation, they had a big problem and they needed help. And I was like, what do you need? We will help you. And they got the help they needed without us being involved is a short answer. I'll bore you over it.
Yeah.
It's that kind of like I've got to be such good friends with these guys. Like, I crash at their houses, you know, they're a great resource too. And they know what I'm kind of into. So I don't know. And I'm not shy about this either. Like, there was a big deal that I had several months ago in Iowa. And I'm like, I don't want to go to Iowa. And it was enormous. It was a store that the guy had died, and it was a state situation, and the sister was in charge. And so I knew a guy in that region, and I reached out to him like, listen, I can't run this down. I mean, I can run this down, but like, you're closer and we can split it, you know, just, I'd rather get some piece of it than let it go completely to someone else. And I also like supporting people that I think are good people. They're my friends first and foremost. Are they looking to make a buck? Absolutely. You know, it's the fuel that makes this whirl around. So he bird dogged this Iowa collection and I got most of the comics. He actually wanted the residual stuff, and he's done and still continues to do very well with that. And I like almost every city I have someone, and like, there's a deal I'm working right now in New England that I do, like two guys in New England that like, I don't know that I want to drive to New England. Well, maybe I do. Like, if I want a road trip out of it, I will. But it's nice to have the network. And one of those two guys in New England, I've only met once, but we did a business deal and we kept in touch afterwards. And he's just like, just a guy that kind of connected with me and resonated with me that he wasn't an asshole. So I'm like, okay, I like to think I'm a good judge of character. Most of the time that works out. That's most of it. And, I don't know, as far as being starstruck, I don't know. I had Lisa Loeb in the store.
Awesome. I will also say that, you know, I've been with you in this company for, holy crap, 12 years now, right?
Seems like an eternity, John.
Well, I am your longest tenured general manager, so.
Oh, yeah. Wave that flag.
Honestly, I don't think there's anybody that's straight tenured as long as I've been in the company currently. But anyway,
maybe Wayne.
He was off and on, so I don't count that. And Dan and Butler might. He might. He might be the one.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, so Butler, his longevity, as you saw from the picture, is 2000.
Yeah. Well, I started working for you in 2009. I have also met a lot of these same people and that Todd's talking about, and it is awesome to get those random phone calls from somebody on the other side of the state or the other side of the country, and they just want to talk about comics or hey, did you see the crazy Marvel announcement and blah 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 blah. So it's very cool to see that and to do shows, to do shows and meet a lot more of these guys. We kind of said it with Three Rivers this year, was it was like a family reunion, and that's just kind of how we've been, how I feel about it all the time. And I think you also feel that way a lot. Like, we're just this stupid nerd family that, you know, we're all looking out for each other. So
absolutely.
Tim, where'd you go?
Who knows? To a new dimension.
Nice.
Hey.
We should have had you all been drinking tonight the same beer.
We showed that beer off last week to the Comics Experience guys. I showed them all because I have one of each of them. So we were showing them all the labels and stuff.
Are you one of those guys that has one of each and they're still sealed?
I don't drink beer. Remember, I drink like girly drinks, like apple teenies and stuff.
Ooh, apple teenies.
Yeah.
Hang on. Let me see if I can make this work.
Okay. Easy on the teeny.
My bar. You see that?
Yep. Yeah. That's his bar.
Anyway, I might have stuff. Not all about the beer, believe it or not.
I want some clean pours.
Yeah, can't promise that. Anytime though, I will make an attempt.
Okay.
The whole nerd thing is that you mentioned nerd community, nerd family. It's like I joked early on into this, and I still joke, like I could be making more money working in a bank. And about 10 years, maybe more than 10 years ago, I got offered a fucking amazing job at a bank. And I'm sorry, I'm allowed to swear.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fuck yes.
Oh, why didn't you tell me that earlier? I'm
actually surprised it didn't come up naturally. I mean, usually we're... Or at least I'm a fucking singler. So
if you couldn't swear, would I be saying calling you a macaroni head right now?
I mean,
gosh darn it,
fork.
I got offered this amazing thing. I did some soul searching, and I'm like, I don't want to do this. Like, this is gonna crush my soul, and I need to do what I want to do, and this is what I want to do, And I'm surrounded by amazing people like you guys. I credit that all the time. People are like, how do you do it, Todd? How do you like so many people I know that have one store and they're like, well, I don't understand how you can have, and like, how do you trust them? And how do you like watch the numbers? I'm like, it just, there's a point you just let go, and you know, it works or it doesn't work. And if it's a problem, you deal with it. And if it's a big problem, then you deal with it in a big way, you know, whatever you got to do. And like stressing out about it and like staying in a little gopher hole isn't going to get you anywhere. So we are out of our gopher hole.
I will eventually use that against you, just so you know.
No. I mean, fuck.
I mean, I was searching somewhere. I have a video where, you know, Todd at one point basically told me I can just tell him to go fuck himself at some point. So I'm waiting for the day where I have to use that. I have not used it yet.
Wow. It's coming up. I feel it.
I will promise you by the end of this calendar year, I will try to use it for you.
That's fine.
So
probably deserve it.
Okay. I don't really have any other super crazy questions unless you want to do one more fun story.
I feel like I've done a bad job of doing the chronology. So it's funny. When I was going to start this, I joke because I get asked this, I don't know, at a bar or at a party. They're like, oh, how'd you get into the comic business? Like, and I always start with like, every time I tell the story, it gets shorter because I just cut out details. And before you know it, 35 years is down to like 5 minutes worth of a story. Excuse me. But I don't know. It's like a blur. And like people ask me all the time, like, was this your plan? I'm like, so that's a good point. No, my plan was to have one store and have me be behind the counter. And I would have good days where I would go home and eat steak. And I would have bad days where I would go home and eat ramen noodles. But every day would be a good day. And I would be doing my thing and it would just be awesome. And that was the initial plan. And then I, even as a stupid young kid with a lemonade stand, I can't ignore opportunities. And I still can't to this day. Opportunities excite me. It's the entrepreneurial spark and spirit that when I was in college, we talked a lot about that. Like, is entrepreneurialism learned or inherent? And it was a very new topic at the time, but the consensus was it was in your DNA, and you can't teach someone to be entrepreneurial. It's either just like it's the spark in their soul or it's not. And if you don't have it, there's no drug, there's no kick in the ass, there's no nothing that can make them do that. And I, even then I was like, that makes sense. Cause like no one ever kicked me in the ass to sell lemonade when I was 8, you know, like stupid stuff, you know? I was in high school, like scheming how to do car washes better. And like, I never did it, but I figured it out. Like I had it figured out to do car washes better than anyone else in Elwood City. And I was going to do that and make a lot of money in the summer. And I'm kind of glad I didn't. Instead, I opened a comic store. So.
Yeah. Well, no one needs to see like Todd in a bikini out there trying to.
Yeah. There's that.
Wash cars. So, well, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on this fine established program.
I promise you, I will come on every 35 years.
All right.
So, but no, really, thanks for coming on. I always love story time with Todd. It's more, believe it or not, people, it's more fun when he gets really drunk. But then they start to repeat themselves. Every once in a while, you get a new nugget. So if you ever get to hang out with Todd, just keep feeding him beers until he tells a story you've never heard.
And do you think this is my first beer today?
No, I'm pretty sure you're in double digits already. So,
oh, not that bad. Jeez.
Everybody in the chat, a lot of them have congratulated you on 35 years, just so you know.
Thanks to them and thanks to you guys. I'd be in my little store eating ramen noodles if it wasn't for you guys. So, and
well, thank you, boss.
I love ramen noodles. I actually, Amanda had ramen noodles tonight. So,
you had steak. She had ramen. I see how that works.
I had beer cheese soup for dinner. Actually, technically, so
okay.
But my point is, you know, this didn't get anywhere without you guys. Like I'm proud of what we've done. But there's no way I could do this by myself. And I wouldn't want to. I mean, I would have been fine. I would have been happy. It would have been great. But to have this crazy thing that people look up to is awe-inspiring.
Agreed.
Well, thank you.
So, well, thanks for coming on, boss. Yeah. I will see you Saturday at the sale. And now how many of these people in the chat who have watched this are now going to just come up to you and be like, man, your story was great. Can't wait for it. or really? Did that really happen?
Can't wait for the sequel in 35 years.
35 years. So
they can come right, see cool. me. I'll be primarily working in the old store component of the Million Comic Sale. I might have to leave there for a short bit, but for the most part, that's where I'll be camped out. If somebody wants to come ask me hard questions, and then maybe those can translate into another podcast or whatever. So I can talk into a screen. This is way more comfortable than talking to like random girls at a bar. So
agreed. So, all right, guys. Well, thanks everybody who watched and is listening on Spotify later or off the website. And as always, make sure you push like on our videos so that they are seen by more people, that it gets the word out and get some people to subscribe to us. You know, we appreciate it. We love how much the chat has exploded tonight. You know, this is always good when everybody's a little more involved. You know, keep shopping at your local shops, and we will see you every Tuesday and Wednesday for new comics. All right. Thanks, guys.
See you.